Good morning. It is April the 26th, 2026, in the year of our Lord. It is the fourth Sunday of Easter. And the title for my message is Counting Sheep. My first reading comes from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 11 through 16. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the other countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And my second reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, reading verses 1 through 10. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Counting sheep. You know, there were several words that stand out from that passage from the Gospel of John between Jesus and the Pharisees. Gate and gatekeeper, thieves and robbers, sheep and a shepherd, names and a voice. A full life. In contrast to stealing, killing, and destroying. Now, staying on this theme, when we read Psalm 23 and recite from that psalm, The Lord is my shepherd, who do you identify more with? Do you identify with the sheep, or do you identify with the shepherd? We know from reading the New Testament and really the four canonical Gospels, from Jesus' parables, and really the tenor of the Bible, that human beings are often compared between sheep and goats. Now, in that comparison, we are warned to be sheep and not goats. If you're familiar with sheep, they are generally considered to be not the brightest of animals in the animal kingdom. Their strength is found often in the flock, and the flock follows the shepherd. Perhaps because of that very reason, Jesus intentionally used the metaphor of sheep for Christians. Now, sheep appear to need one another. At their core being, they identify or find their being in the flock. And they need a shepherd to depend on to guide them and lead them. Without a strong and protective shepherd, the sheep find themselves in trouble. Goats, on the other hand, are more independent, and they don't necessarily need someone watching out for them like sheep do. Goats can often be very nimble and creative, and they can be headstrong. Have you ever watched a goat headbutt another goat or a person near them who's not paying attention? Look out, because that's going to hurt. Shepherds, on the other hand, are not counting sheep. That is not their role, and that is not their responsibility. Far from it. Being a shepherd then, and when I say then, I'm talking about the biblical days, and being a shepherd today requires a completely different association and interaction with sheep. Shepherds are to be alert to their surroundings, especially when danger is near, whether from a predator or from a hireling who is indifferent and absent-minded. The hireling is indifferent to the flock because the hireling is not the good shepherd. Shepherds are responsive and attentive to the needs of their sheep and their flock and their care. They are on the lookout for the well-being of their sheep. And shepherds work long, arduous hours to ensure their flock survives and that they give birth to new sheep. Now, shepherds intimately know their sheep. They know their lookings, their interactions, their mannerisms, their coming and going. Now, shepherds in the eastern part of the world, unlike western shepherds who use dogs to lead their flocks, the shepherds in the biblical days would lead their sheep to pasture by going on ahead of them and using their voice. Their voice and their presence would lead them out of the sheep pen and into the pasture, and conversely, their voice and their presence would bring the sheep back into the sheepfold. Now, sometimes out of necessity, a shepherd would use a hireling as a gatekeeper to temporarily guard the sheep in the sheep pen or the sheepfold. Now, what's very interesting is that in the ancient world, and this is probably true today, if there's a sheep pen, the shepherd would sleep in the entrance of the sheep pen, the gate, where the gate was. They would sleep there to guard their flock during the night hours from predators, wolves, lions, bears, or any other animal, and from thieves and robbers. Now, the interesting thing, I mentioned earlier that shepherds would have an intimate understanding of their sheep, and they would give their sheep individual names, and they could tell their sheep from other sheep if they were mixed with other flocks. Conversely, the sheep knew the voice of their shepherd. It's not surprising, with that background, that Jesus describes himself as the Good Shepherd when he is talking to the Pharisees and some of his disciples. If you read the Gospel of John chapter 9, there is a long, drawn-out debate and discussion between the Pharisees and a man who was born blind. And they are arguing how the man who was born blind was healed by a man on the Sabbath. Chapter 9, from a 40,000-foot level, highlights that Israel, past and present when Jesus was alive, was being led by false shepherds. These shepherds drew the sheep astray from the true knowledge of the coming Messiah. They had a misunderstanding of who Messiah would be and how Messiah would act. Now, the first reading from Ezekiel chapter 34, that chapter in its entirety, and I encourage my listeners to read the entire chapter, is a rebuke against the false shepherds of Israel who led the nation down the wrong path, or in other words, to a dead-end street. From kings and queens to temple priests to false prophets, their lack of godly leadership was devastating to the kingdom and nation of Israel and for the people of God. They led them to false gods and they gave them a false sense of security. But not Jesus. Jesus, as the good shepherd, promises his sheep an abundant life. Or, as the New International Version translation puts it, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Having an abundant life, what does that look like and mean for you? You know, when you and I take the time to think about the abundant life and having a life to the full, the promise of a full life is as relevant today as it was when Jesus said it to the Pharisees and to his disciples. Now, there's a very interesting phenomena that is happening across the Western world. In our modern / postmodern Western world as we speak, there is a growing group of young men and boys who are converting to Christianity. And in particular, they are being drawn in by the Roman Catholic Church, both in Europe and to a lesser degree in the United States. And people are asking the question, why? Why is this happening today in the 21st century? Because this goes against the grain and mindset of what people have been saying for years and even decades, that young people have abandoned traditional religion. They have abandoned the local church. I think the answer is to why they are joining Christianity and converting is because they want to experience and live out for themselves a full or an abundant life that Jesus spoke about as the Good Shepherd. I think also many of them, they are tired of being dumped on by society. They are tired that academia and certain political parties blame them and cast all kinds of manner of aspersions on them for the ills of society. Shockingly to some, these boys have come to the stark realization that materialism as a way of living, thinking, and planning a life is empty and unsatisfying. People, but these boys in particular, want something more that is found in the digital world than the AI world. The fake world. It's amazing how today young adults and even young older adults for that matter, but primarily young people, are having daily conversations with AI like they're a real human being. And some people have listened to the advice given to them from AI and they've taken their lives. So what has happened is some family members of the deceased are suing these technology companies. I'm just amazed that anyone, young or old, could think that you could have a real, personal, viable, living relationship with ChatGPT or any other artificial intelligence. To me, that's insanity. But it's a reflection of the world that we live in. So people want more than what the digital world is offering them. They want something beyond the everyday chores and the boring trivialities that come their way. They long for something deeper and far more fulfilling than mindless television shows, stale bread, and a meaningless existence. People and these young boys and men want more than bread and circuses in their lives. If you're familiar with the ancient Romans, one of the ways they kept the masses at bay, one of the ways they kept the populace down, was to offer them bread and circuses. And when I say circuses, I'm talking about games in the Colosseum, the gladiators, and other forms of violent entertainment. You know, there have been and continue to be many strangers and thieves who cause havoc in our lives, both inside the church and outside in society. The sad thing is this, for the churches that take the route of heterodoxy, they are mimicking and parroting what the larger culture says, the outside culture. And the devastation that has laid on individuals and families and congregations, and I would go so far as to say entire denominations, has been monumental. These strangers, these thieves have whispered lies, and they have deceived many in the sheepfold. They have stolen from them, and sadly, they have left some for dead. The amount of damage that has been done from heterodox clergy, from heretical clergy, is beyond our scope and understanding, and is terribly sad. But not Jesus. Jesus said that he is the gate and that he is the gatekeeper. He is the good shepherd. And he does more than count sheep. He knows his sheep by name and he calls them out individually. What a beautiful and powerful testimony that the creator of the universe, out of the billions and billions of human beings that have ever existed, knows you by your name. You know, my mother passed away almost 20 years ago. And there's a lot that I miss about her. But one of the things that I miss is hearing my name called by my mother. Now, when she would say my full name, I knew that I was in trouble. But having said that, I miss hearing my mother call out my name. You know, for those of you who don't know this, I'm a bivocational pastor. I work in a church, and I also have a secular part-time job driving. I have a commercial driver's license. And I drive, and in my job, I have the responsibility of 6 runs. And during those 3 runs in the morning and 3 runs in the afternoon, I will encounter over 100 children, between 100 and 120 children on any given day. And I have learned in these past 4 to 5 years the importance and the value of knowing each student's first name. When you have a bus filled with elementary students or middle school students, and they are acting as children are wont to do, yelling and screaming and not sitting down and doing things they shouldn't. If you yell out, "Hey, you," that doesn't carry any weight. They continue on. But if you yell their first name, they will stop what they're doing. They will look at you. And more often than not, they will do what I instruct them to do. There's something to be said hearing your name spoken. What an unspeakable joy and privilege it is to know that the Creator of the universe knows you and I by name. Counting sheep. Counting sheep is what some people do when they are trying to fall asleep. However, naming sheep and whispering their name. Well, whispering your name, whispering my name, is what Jesus Christ does because he is the good shepherd and he does more than count sheep. Amen.